James Senegal once said, "Technology helps us become more efficient and productive, but our business still has a lot of art as opposed to strictly science." Are you tinkering, self-learning, self-improving, experimenting with home labbing? And do you want to become a skilled IT expert? Well, you've found your new home. This is the Home Labbers Podcast. On this show, we'll interview top experts and dig deep to learn how they got started and how they train their IT skills as a master martial artist in a Shaolin temple. And you know what? We're going to have fun along the way. This is the Home Labbers Podcast. And now your host, Vian Du.
All right, let's do this.
Taylor, welcome to the podcast. So excited to have you on the podcast.
Hey, Andres, it's great to be here. I always like talking about home labs, and I think we'll have a good time.
Before we dive into the home labbing topic, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So currently, I am a technical product marketing architect in the network and advanced security business group at VMware. I've been with VMware for just about 4.5 years. Some of my earlier time at VMware, I was part of the technical account manager team. I was the core TAM for all VMware products to our previous parent company, Dell, for a period of time. I was also a network and security technical account manager for a period of time. I spent quite a bit of time as a technical account manager. Prior to that, I'd spent about 7 years with Dell Professional Services, primarily on the physical networking side. I was certified Cisco, did a lot of design work with different customers, primarily customers that people might remember from different Dell Professional Services engagements. And I've done this kind of all my life. I'm not going to go any farther back in a resume, but pretty much done this all my life. I kind of grew up in tech. So I think my current role is just a reflection of where my career has come to at this point. I live in Austin, Texas. I have the luxury of being an empty nester. So I do get some free time to go and partake of my hobby, which my hobby is my profession. So I'm one of those lucky people who gets to blur the lines between a hobby and work. And what is it they say? If you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life or something like that. So that's kind of who I am. So that's Dale.
And how did you get started with home labbing, and where did you get the idea?
So many years ago, I was studying for Cisco certifications and also Microsoft certifications, and I was actually offered a server and a router by the company I was working for because they were going to dispose of them. You know, this is almost back when they would take the hard drives out and give them to you and say, here, they're yours. Not many companies, I guess, do that today, but that was really my first break in terms of being able to get equipment. And I took that equipment and made it into a very small, rudimentary, functioning lab. Not too long after that, I actually used something called VMware Server, if I remember correct, which was our first really type 2 hypervisor for servers. So it was kind of cool going all the way back to that product.
And how did your first home lab look like?
Well, like I said, it was simply one server, a switch, and a router. And it just kind of grew out from there. If I remember right, these were the old compact, what they used to call white whales. They were like a 4U server. The thing would just scream the fans occasionally from time to time. But I learned quite a bit using that home lab.
And what was your first home lab project?
Just to get that working. You know, I was still pretty new in the industry. I was trying to figure out where I was going to focus my efforts and just to get that up and functioning so that it meant something or it was a meaningful evolution for me. That was probably my biggest project.
And how did you fund your home lab besides what you got it for free?
Yeah, even to this day, I fund my entire home lab out of my own pocket. I'm actually pretty proud of that. When I show you what my current home lab is, you'll see my entire home lab has been bought off of eBay. And I haven't bought anything new. I like the idea that I can utilize what would be recycled equipment. I mean, I am judicious about what I buy, but, you know, from a home lab perspective within VMware, we're like any other home labber. I can't just call VMware support and say, hey, fix this for me. You know, it's kind of up to me to fix it. So whether it's supported or not is not 100% as important to me in my home lab as it might be in, say, a production environment, because I don't have that ability to call support. So if I'm on something unsupported, as long as it's functional, to me, that's almost bigger than if it's supported or not. For example, you'll see that I have R620s in my home lab, Dell R620 1U rack servers. We're now at 703, and the hardware that those 620s have is very soon going to not be supported in terms of ESX. That doesn't bother me as long as I can still run ESX on it and have ESX be functional and stable. I mean, stable to me is one of the most important things in my home lab.
But how your home lab looks right now, and what do you have, and what software is you're using?
All right, so let me just show you what's in my home lab now. And here's a diagram. And I know some people might say, wow, this guy even has a diagram of his home lab. Well, like I said, I have probably a little bit more time to work on my home lab than maybe other people do, you know, because I'm a little bit older and I don't have Little League or piano recitals to attend. You can see that I actually have three different environments. I utilize nesting in my home lab. I have a 6.7 environment. That's what's running on these three physical servers is 6.7. Each of these servers has a Ether channel connection to a Synology 1U rack station. I think they're called rack stations. These have all, you know, you can see the size. They're all the same. They all run, have them configured in RAID 10. And then also, off of my distributed switch, I run an active-active connection for everything else that goes on other than traffic to the Synology boxes. You can see that I have a couple of Cisco boxes, a switch, and a router. The router goes off to the rest of my home network and to the internet. There's a firewall in between. There's essentially a firewall inside this cloud. That firewall is provided by a company called Firewalla. I have the Firewalla Gold. And then there's also the iOS firewall is in place on this Cisco box. So each of these R620s they vary from 2630 V2s to 2680s. I think there's even a 2690. I just bought 2680 V2s, six of them, to go back and put the same CPU across all three boxes. Each of them has 256 gig of RAM, and they have varying SSD capabilities. I didn't build them all the same. I may go back and change that at some point. You can see all the different software that I run. The 6.7 is the latest update. 7, I have the nested 7.2 update 2. That's, I think I'm one update out from the latest there. And then not shown on this diagram is I have two Intel NUCs or NUCs, depending upon how you want to say it, that I run the very latest code, in this case, update 3 on. And then as part of the 6.7 environment, the physical environment, if you will, I run VROPS, vRealize Log Insight, vRealize Network Insight. And then I also have a couple of Microsoft Domain Controllers, a SUSBox, a couple of SNMP manager boxes. All of that kind of runs in this 6.7 physical environment. The nested 7.0 runs on top of the 6.7 environment, and I limit that to just one of the 6.7 boxes. So that's just kind of a quick overview. From a VROPS perspective, this is what I see. I've got about a total of 20 VMs across those two nested environments, those two environments, one of which is nested. And you can see I've run about 41 of them. There's multiple data centers, multiple clusters, and you can see what kind of performance I get. I haven't touched this since I brought it up a few minutes before we started this. So you can see the disk latency and the CPU contention are the numbers that they are. I didn't doctor them for our particular video. Anyway, so does that answer your question?
Yes, I have one question. What is the reason why you have an older version of vCenter?
Because I limit, let me just pull this back up. I limit the 6.7 environment. I treat that as its own separate data center, if you will. I keep that just on 6.7, 6.7 vCenter, 6.7 ESX. And then in the 7s is obviously all 7s, 7 vCenter, 7. I treat each one of these as their own separate environment.
Thank you. How much knowledge have you gained while having a home lab?
If you are going to be a technical person involved in this environment, I can't stress enough how much you're going to learn by having your own home lab, from just setting it up and making it operational to having it break for different reasons, maybe a power outage or just something goes wrong, and then having to troubleshoot that. The knowledge that you're going to gain from that is there's almost no way to duplicate it. And I know that some people work at companies where they have access to different labs, and I think that's great, but there's a flexibility that comes from having your own home lab that you may not necessarily have in a lab that is provided to you. I can physically walk over and hit. Actually, I kind of didn't really show you this. Let me just show you actually what all this looks like. This is what it looks like. And this sits in the corner of the office that I'm talking to you from. You can see the three servers on the bottom. There are the four Synology boxes. There's my Cisco switch. The router's just out of the picture above us, but I can walk over and I can do anything I want to all this equipment. If I want to shut it all down, And you say, well, why would you shut it all down? Because in order to do firmware updates to the Synology boxes, I have to pretty much shut everything down because, again, all my VMs are running in Synology boxes. So if I have to do firmware updates, and I try and do that on about a quarterly basis, then that's how I go about doing it. I shut everything down and apply my firmware updates. You may not necessarily have that flexibility if you don't control everything about the environment. Now, some of the drawbacks to that are just out of the picture, or just on the right-hand side of the picture, right over here. I don't know if you can see my hand or not, but right over here is UPSs that I've had to put in because for some reason here in the state of Texas, we decided to have these little very short power outages that almost would go unnoticed in most households, but are long enough that it would drop power to either the Synology boxes or the servers themselves. And so I've had to do some investment in UPSs. And I would encourage anybody, when they start getting to this level of build out of their home lab, to make sure that you've got some things protected by UPSs.
What is the most memorable home lab story you like to share?
So it actually happened to me late last week. I was due to give a demo because I use this environment for a lot of my work demos because, again, it's super easy for me to get to. I know it. I can control it. I know what is going to work and what isn't going to work in terms of when I click on the button in various demos. I was due to give a demo to a customer about the cloud workload protection capabilities that I actually am pretty intimately involved with it as part of the network and advanced security business group. And I woke up that morning. I think I was supposed to give the demo like around 9 o'clock or something like that, my time in the morning. I woke up that morning to find out that the vCenter that had the cloud workload protection, that entire environment was down. So I got everything back up and working about 10 minutes before I was supposed to do that demo. And I was really kind of sweating bullets there for a few minutes because I didn't know if I was going to have an environment to demo. And I'd already had to reschedule it once because, again, being at my house, there are just certain frailties that are going to exist. Like I lost my internet and I had to reschedule that exact demo the first time because I lost my internet and I didn't want to have to reschedule a second time because my environment was down. Anyway, so that's one of my best stories. You know, I've obviously spent a lot of time putting this together. You know, it's, I just keep going back to how much I've learned just by doing this, you know, and it hasn't always been learning that I necessarily wanted to learn. You know, there have been things that have broken that it was like, well, I don't know anything about how to fix that. And you just start digging into it and you find that once you get it fixed, that you've gained a body of knowledge about something that maybe you didn't have knowledge about before.
Do you have more some scary or funny home lab stories, what you would like to share?
Power outages. I used to really dread power outages. And I bought some APC Snyder. I think that's what they are. And they're monitorable through a web portal. You know, I can go and I can see what their voltage is and see if they rolled over. So since I put those in place, my life has been a lot more, I've been a lot happier with life because used to, if I took a power hit, it was probably an hour to an hour and a half out of my time to get everything back up and running. You know, I would say that's probably the biggest story I have about home labs. You know, some people use their home labs like they run Plex servers on them and things like that. I use my home lab to learn about VMware products and to be able to demonstrate VMware products. I don't run a Plex server. I do very little on the Synology boxes. They have a whole array of software that you can add. I don't really put a lot of different software on the Synology boxes. I run primarily run them with NFS. One of them does have a iSCSI LUN configured on it, and I connect to it just for the sake of doing iSCSI. So,
what do others think about you when they see your home lab or her you have a home lab?
I think some of them are thinking maybe I'm just a little overboard with some of this, but again, you know, I think a lot of people have different hobbies. You know, some people it's motorcycles, some people it's cars, some people it's woodworking. This is my hobby. I mean, this is what I enjoy doing. Hold on just one second. I just bought new CPUs. They're still in the anti-static bags inside of this. There's four of them in this little, these are 2680 V2s. The R620s are limited to V2s, can't run V3s in them. So, you know, probably over the next month or so, I'll take out all three of my servers, I'll swap out CPUs, and I'll have matching CPUs across them. And that will probably be the last hardware change I'll make to these particular servers for some time until I have to go through another refresh cycle. And this is probably about my fourth or fifth refresh cycle. Before I moved to the R620s, I had a C61 ultra high density Dell box that I wished I still had in some ways. It was a 2U box that had four sleds in it. It was a pretty cool design, and I could run 6.5 on it. When we moved to 6.7, I think it had like 5,500 processors in it, something like that. Those kind of fell by the wayside, so that's what prompted me to move to the 620s.
What is home lab for you?
Like I said, it's a hobby for me. It's a place for me to really sharpen my skills. I mean, you can see that my home lab obviously has a compute factor involved. It has a networking factor involved. It has a storage factor involved. It has being able to manage all of this. At the virtualized level, it has Active Directory, it has DNS. It has everything that you need to really be able to master in order to be what I would consider a well-rounded professional in either doing virtualization, networking, whatever the case may be. I run NSX, both V and T, you know, so there's a lot going on there. And just getting that set up by yourself is going to really accelerate your learning in all of those areas.
And what one piece of advice would you give for beginner home labbers?
Do it. Just do it. I know some people worry about the power and some people worry about the cost. You know, if you are hesitant about whether you think you're going to use this or not, then start off with something simple like the Intel NUC or Nuke box. You know, you can get ESX installed on those. William Lamb has some great articles. He's also really out in front of some of the new offerings that are coming out in terms of small units for home labs, but start there. You know, I mean, I obviously have something different than what a lot of people do. I also run probably a larger home lab with more functionality than what a lot of people do, but also don't be hesitant to step off into the area of nested, you know, where, you know, you can run a lot of VMs on a not so big physical platform. I mean, yes, my servers each have 256 gig of RAM. And to some people, that may sound like a lot. It's actually really not. And through those three servers, you know, you just saw I'm able to run or at least have 50 VMs available and configured. And nobody really has issues with CPU contention or anything like that. So you can start small and build up is my point. You don't always have to buy new. eBay is a great place to go find some good deals that will help you build out your home lab.
Dale, thank you so much for joining and have a wonderful day.
Yeah. Hey, thanks very much, Andres, for having me. And the one thing I'd like to leave everybody with is I'm available on LinkedIn. You're welcome to make a connection there and drop me a message if you have questions about home labs. I mean, I enjoy helping people on their journey. I enjoy helping people really become more knowledgeable and better themselves in terms of the knowledge and the skills that they can offer. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Home Labbers Podcast. Our passion is to interview the leading IT experts and get tech enthusiasts all the information they need to become an expert. So if you run at-home enterprise hardware and software, and you like tinkering and self-learning, then you've found your new podcast. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit up the website at viondu.tech, on Twitter at #viondutrending, and #homelab. See you next time on the Home Labbers Podcast.